Here we go.
Aloha and welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii and Boston, Massachusetts. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Dennis Salas rose from Papakolea's poverty to high school and collegiate stardom at Roosevelt High in football and the University of Hawaii. He's one of the all-time men's basketball lettermen playing with the Fabulous Five. It all, however, came to a crashing end under the influence of drug abuse. You'll hear him share his amazing story and how it could relate with you through the difficulties that you may face, you may be going through even right now. We pause at the beginning of our show to remind you the reason we have the Good Life Radio Show is just that, to bring you closer and closer to Jesus Christ. For you to know that no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, no matter how down things might be, there is always hope in Jesus Christ, in the one who loves you so much. He died on the cross for your sins. He shed his precious blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried. 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. And today, dear friend, the living Christ calls you to himself. Pastor Dennis and I, we ask, would you open your heart to Jesus? That is our hope. That's our prayer. And if you're already walking with the Lord, wherever you might be in your journey, that you would draw nearer and nearer to him. Pastor Dennis Salas cried out to God and embraced Jesus, and the Lord lifted him. Today, he is the pastor at Hope Chapel South Shore, and he passionately is in ministry, passionately helps and serves the homeless. Pastor Dennis, welcome to our show.
Aloha, and it's Hope Chapel Waikiki. We changed the name.
Chapel Waikiki, yeah. All right. Pastor, welcome.
Thank you.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Papakolea, a Hawaiian homestead on the mountains. You know, up by Tantlas, down, you know, Honolulu downtown is on the bottom, and on the top mountain was Papakolea. It's where it's a whole, like I said, Hawaiian homestead. The prince put a land away for the Hawaiian people of indigenous blood. And so I was born and raised with a lot of people that we got to know each other up in the mountains of Papakolea.
What was it like
growing
up there?
Well, growing up there, you know, we were poor, very poor, and a lot of the families didn't have much living up in Papakolea. In fact, not too long ago, I ran into some friends, and, you know, we were talking, and other people from other areas says, oh, you guys don't know what poor is, you know. And I said, oh, we were really poor. They said, you don't know what poor is. I said, what do you mean? They goes, when we grew up, we ate tar off the telephone poles. And I went, wow, whoa. They go, yeah, that's how poor we was. I go, you guys had telephone poles. So we were real poor up in the Papakolea. At the same time, there was all kinds of things that were running rampant because of the, you know, the state we were in as kids, that we would go and do things that, you know, wasn't according to what God wanted us to do. God wasn't even in the equation. It was just about survival. And to us, survival was just taking or getting whatever we wanted to get. And as we grew up, we, you know, people got together and we got older and we started to do other different crimes up there. But we still had good people in Papakolea. Let's not get that wrong. there was a lot of good people trying to steer us in the right direction. But because my dad was always gone, I never knew him. He was a merchant seaman. We never got along. I came from a dysfunctional family, not broken, but dysfunctional with abuse, drinking and all sorts of things. So my livelihood was, just on my own, doing my own thing. And mom tried her best to raise six children. And, of course, all of us was running in all sorts of directions without a male model. So that was tough on us. And then a lot of the kids were the same way up in Papakolea. And like I said, there were some good families. And also there were some that we just ran amok.
It sounds like sports had a big part in your life. How did you get into sports?
Well, because I had, nobody, actually, I was, I'm the youngest of the six, and I would go up to the parks and just play and, keep busy. And then there was a friend of mine that lived two houses away from me, whose dad took an interest in me because God gave me a gift that I finally found out after all these years that I had a gift in athletics. And this man, Mr. Edward Enos, took me. He was took me into his house and started to take me to the parks and learned organized basketball, organized sports, beady boxing, whatever it was, baseball. And he would take me to these places. And next thing I know, I was doing all these different sports, from swimming, competitive, basketball competitive. And so, at a young age, and then all the young kids would see me, and they were older than I was. I was like 7, 8 years old, playing with 15-year-olds on the streets, tackle football. So when I got to play Pop Warner, I was ready for all the young guys out there. So I was achieving faster than all the rest of the guys that was my age.
You mentioned Mr. Edward Enos. Mm-hmm. He influenced you. It seems he influenced you significantly. Who else would you say influenced you in your growing up years?
I started to look back many years ago about who was the figure, and I could remember another person by the name of Boyd Andrade was my Pop Warner coach, and because those were the only people that I could, I never talked with them. I just went to practice, but they always saw something in me that was special, and they kept saying that something was good going to come out. And so, like, when I look back, I couldn't even think of anyone that I could say played a big part in my life. And that's why I did what I did, and I ran the way I ran, and I had no direction. And even after high school, being one of the 100 best players in America out of high school and, All-American, I still didn't have any directions of school or college because parents didn't tell me what I should do. So my directions was, pretty much all on my own. So as far as anybody, I couldn't even think at this point.
So how did you end up at the University of Hawaii?
Well, the University of Hawaii, I had scholarships from all over. And I didn't know what to do, and I ended up, just saying, I'm going to stay home. And I went to the university and as a freshman, and I got to play. In fact, I was the first one to go on the university as a freshman. And because they ruled me ineligible because they didn't have freshmen playing football at, freshmen right out of high school, so that I had to wait 1 year. And the coaches there, I didn't know, they were leaving. After that year, they were leaving, and they took me with them to California, and not knowing that was illegal. And I went to a junior college up in California, played there, and I did well over there. And the NCAA got a hold of it because I shouldn't have been in California playing ball because of my eligibility with the University of Hawaii. And so they ruled me ineligible. And so I played football and basketball up in Pasadena, and then I came home, back home to UH, and finished off my year over here.
When you think back playing basketball, what memory or memories do you cherish playing with the Fabulous Five?
I was playing football when I got back. And then when the football season was over, I went up to Red Rocha and asked if I could walk on. And I did that at, when I went to the other, because I had a scholarship for football and I walked on for basketball. And then I asked if I could walk on. And he said, well, they got the crew, the team already. I said, just give me a chance. That's all I want. And so they let me try. And, you know, for one thing, I always been this way in all my life, is that I never believed anybody when they said no can. I always believed that can. And that was the inside of me that I didn't know at that time. It was the Spirit of God that gave me this power from the Spirit. You know, it had to be from the Spirit of God that I didn't know, because I had no connection at that time. That I, every time I went out for something, I said, let me try. So I did the marathons, I did biathlons, I did 10-man triathlons, and people says, you got to train for this. And I go, I'll just do it. And I would do it, not knowing that, you know, people train years to do it. And then I would do very well. And, you know, it was all this gift that God gave me, so that through these gifts, now I meet people and I'm doing paddling now with the, you know, I'm going back to the university, but I'm just going forward and seeing that God wanted me to share about his grace to everybody that I meet. And at the University of Hawaii, when I met all these guys, because being from Hawaii, we got this, what they call the aloha spirit. You know that, Brother Danny, you know, we would, you know, give aloha to all these guys from, they were from Detroit, they're from all over the mainland. And so I would take them to my house, you know, feed them, and my mom would feed them, you know, and we'd all hang out. And so now today, you know, when they, I got to do the wedding for Al Davis, I got to speak to some of my, some of the guys from the Fabulous Five about God, and they came to church, and it's just, you know, just remarkable what God had planned that I never thought.
God gives people gifts, and sometimes we have gifts that we don't even realize we have them. Maybe other people might see a gift in you. Other people might see a certain supernatural quality, a capacity that stands out. You might not even realize it. As you listen today, you listen to Dennis Salas, Pastor Dennis of Hope Chapel, Waikiki. Perhaps you would recognize or remember that God has given you a gift, gifts. When we come back, he'll talk more about not only the athletic opportunities that he had and the athletic prowess that he possesses, but what came as a result of some choices that he made. What came because of other aspects of life that we could all in some form or fashion relate with. Pastor Dennis Salas will share about his conversion to Jesus Christ. How did he come to know the Lord? How did he experience the love of God? You know, sometimes to experience the love of God, many of us go through periods where we enter a very dark place, a painful place, almost to the point of hopelessness. But there is always hope in Jesus. That's an undergoing theme that we beat that drum again and again, and you'll hear it from Pastor Dennis Salas, more from him when we come back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of news stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year, and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Anybody that's ever played basketball will understand what it feels like to shoot the ball and to see it go right in the basket. Swish. I mean, there's an incredible feeling that goes with it. It doesn't matter if you're playing in an auditorium, in an arena, or in a local gym, or on the asphalt of some community park. It just feels good to make a basket. Some people are able to play in front of crowds. Some people are able to perform at very high levels. Our guest is one, Dennis Salas. But I like to think of it from the standpoint also of the feeling you get when you make a decision that changes your life, that brings you to a place of hope and purpose. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro. I'm here with Dennis Salas. Pastor Dennis is the pastor of Hope Chapel Waikiki. You can find out more about him and his ministry at hopechapelwaikiki.org. Find out more about this program. Get it in its entirety at thegoodlifehawaii.com. Pastor Dennis, before a break, you were talking about playing there, for Red Rocha, for the University of Hawaii, during that golden era of the Fabulous Five. Pastor, how did you become a Christian?
Well, you know, I started, you know, to go back really quick. And like I was telling you about being at a dysfunctional family, and my dad he had me hung in the house. We lived in a Quonset hut, and threw the rope over my neck, and just because I said something he didn't like, and he started to pull me up, and I remember holding on the rope and keeping me in my luck. You know, it was all God that my mom walked in the house and I was hanging up there, and you know, so him and I didn't get anything. Going through my life, and you know, when I got back from college, I didn't hang around the people from Papakolea because I wanted to do good in athletics. And then I started using drugs because my dad kept saying, I know you're using, I know you're drinking. And I never drank, never did any kind of drugs. And he kept saying that and kept pressuring me to the point that, you know, I don't want to make an excuse, but I said, okay, if you think I'm doing it, I'm going to do it. And so I started to use and do all these things, and then I was playing ball and using, and just kept doing the same thing year after year. And then next thing you know, I got a job with the city and county of Honolulu as a lifeguard, and I was still doing the same thing, and saving people, saving lives, and one day as I was driving, and you know, thinking about all the things that was going on. And I was, you know, I still, you know, I was doing every detestable things according to the word of God. In fact, I went to a church where they said, "What have you done?" The pastor told me, and I said, "Everything, everything in that Bible I did, you know." And so I'm driving this car. I got all this, you know, I'm still going out to a party, and there was this voice that came and said, "Go to church." And I couldn't understand that because I was on my way to a party. And the next morning I woke up, I said, "Okay, I'm a Catholic. I'm going to go to church, and I'm going to the early one because it's only a half hour, you know." So I went to the church, never heard one thing said. And I went back home. I sat down, went to watch football on television, and my phone rang. And my friend's wife was on the phone. And she goes, "Dennis, what are you doing?" I says, "Oh, I'm watching football." She goes, "You want to go to church?" I said, "I just went to church." She goes, "No, I want to take you to a different church." I go, "What church?" She goes, "Christian church." I go, "I never heard of it." And this was 1989, 80, 89. And I'm going, "Okay, yeah, I'll meet you there." She goes, "No, I'll pick you up." So she picked me up.
She didn't trust you. Huh?
Yeah, she knew I wasn't going to show up. And I got to the church, and sure enough, these guys, long hair, tattoos, T-shirts, shorts, you know, and I'm like, "Wow, what kind of church is this?" And I see the guys playing band, you know, Catholic church, you got the organs and, you know, everybody all dressed up. And I'm looking at everybody, and I go, "Wow, everybody looks stoned over here, long hair." I said, "This is my church, you know, I love this. Everybody's high." And I didn't know there was high in the spirit, brother. There was high in the Holy Ghost. And so anyway, I went there and I folded my hands, and people was clapping their hands, hugging me. I saw my friends from before that used to be dealing drugs and doing all that kind, and they hugging me, not knowing that they have been saved. They're no longer living that, you know, they got a new life. They're a new creature in Christ Jesus. But I thought they were all just part of this cult. And then I said, and my friend's wife says, "Do you want to come back next week?" I go, "Yeah." You know, so I kept coming. And then one day I was like listening, and I went, "Ooh," all of a sudden something came down on me that I'd never experienced in my life. That the Holy Spirit, there was this little girl standing next to me, not standing, but the daddy was holding him in her arms, and she had blue eyes, blonde hair, maybe a year and a half, 2 years, and kept smiling at me. And the daddy was holding, and they were singing, and I'm looking over, and I'm listening to the music, and I look over, and she's still smiling. And then I started going, "This is an angel." And I heard the pastor says, "Who wants Jesus in their life?" And I said, "I do," because I knew right there and then that I needed to change, that I couldn't live that life because I was going to church on Sundays and living in the world Monday through Saturday. And I was running around giving all the Christianese words of amen, hallelujah, praise God, and living in the detestable ways during the week. And right there, I started to change. But it took a while. And that's why I encourage anybody out there that's just like me, that, you know, going to church, but in during the week, they're acting like the devil, that they can change, that they can just reach out and ask God to help them. Because that's the only way I could do it is when I surrendered and I said, "Lord, use me, take me, because I don't love the way I'm living right now." And like I was saying earlier to you, during those years, I had 9 children, 7 different mothers. I was a lifeguard on the beach. I was a beach boy teaching surfing, canoe rides. So I was a selfish person just thinking about myself and nobody else. Not even thinking about my children growing up and without a dad. I was doing the same thing my dad did to me. And I said, I would never be like my dad. And I was the same. And I wanted to change things. And I needed Jesus Christ to help me. And that's what was the thing that was happening to me then. And I started to pick up my children and take them to church with me.
What was the process like, Dennis? The process. We talk about change. We talk about transformation of life. What was it like?
You know, sometimes I hear people talking about a twinkle of an eye, and I'm like, there's no ways. There's a struggle. Even with the Holy Spirit inside of you, because the enemy, it's been in you for so many years, and God is just working on you, you know, and then you're not really surrendering. It's only, like I said, when I surrendered all, that all of a sudden the change happened, because I started to hold part of the world. I was lukewarm. I started to hold part of the world, part of God, and everybody loved me, both sides. I had to make a choice, and the choice was, Lord, I'm going to follow you and follow you only. And only then did I realize that it took a while that I struggled. And then I just went cold turkey. I said, no more drinking, no more drugging, no more sex, no more. And everybody said, you out of your mind, you know. And I was like, no, this is the only way I can do it, you know. And I didn't go to any kind of AA, NA or anything. I just called on the Lord Jesus to help me.
Let's say somebody today is, they know exactly what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. You know, a little here, a little there. Sometimes, let's face it, we think, well, even in the middle is better than being all bad, right? Yeah. I'm halfway there. But when you're halfway there, this whole sense of, you know, being lukewarm, you know, neither hot nor cold, the way that Jesus talks about in the book of Revelation. At some point, someone begins to think, you know, it's not enough just to be halfway. What would you say to someone who's sort of waffling side to side in the middle of the fence?
I found myself kidding myself, thinking that I can live the two lives, because there's still the void in my life. And so, you know, I'd be, you know, laughing and joking and doing all the same things I did. But then again, there was something missing. And I know there are people out there that maybe have gone to church for 20 years, but there's something missing because they haven't fully surrendered.
So what's missing? What is that? You know, we talk about something's missing. It sounds so mysterious. What is missing?
It's so simple. It's so simple. You know, you're just calling on the Holy Spirit, because, you know, we need to cry out to God. And that Spirit will come into your life. He will guide you. He will teach you. He will show you all things that you need to know. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be like milk and honey. It's not going to be like you conquered everything. But there'll be a process in your life that, from one thing that you didn't do, all of a sudden you're not swearing anymore. And you go, oh, praise God, you know. But then you look at your life and you're doing this. You go, oh, I got to work on that. And, you know, and then it becomes this process that you start to eliminate. It's like, you know, like one of my favorite scriptures, he who began a good work in you will continue it on until the day of Christ Jesus. In other words, brother, I haven't got there yet. As a pastor of a church, I still got faults. I still got trials. I still got tribulations. I still got all the pain that everybody suffers. But one thing I do have is Jesus Christ in my life that helps me through all these things.
And as the Lord has worked in the life of Pastor Dennis Salas, and I appreciate his candidness, just laying it all out there for us, it's sort of disarming from my perspective, because it makes me feel like, wow, you know, God can work in all of our soft, tender, and even broken spots of each of our lives. And it means the same for you. Whatever that tenderness is in your life, God can work in that. He speaks about a process of purification, a process. Really, the scripture talks about sanctification. The Lord does his work in us by his Spirit. Yeah, you're not swearing as much. You're not doing those things that you did. It's not because of what you can do, because of what God is doing through you. More of what God can do through us. Through the testimony of Pastor Dennis Salas, sharing heart to heart with you. Stay with us now. There's more to come. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me. I lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup. I listen to Danny's show every day.
Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Yamashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference. But where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, "I believe in you." Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
When you're making a comeback, and we love comeback stories, don't we? Could it be because we all at some point in our lives have been down? And we like to know, it gives us a sense of hope that we can come back. And when somebody comes back, and in this case, we talk about my guest today, Pastor Dennis Salas, comes back from drug addiction, comes back from a life where, you know, his morals were less than optimum, to put it in a well-phrased way. But God came and touched his life. When he does, when God touches our lives, in the midst of our brokenness, there always remains a sense of care, a sensitivity to others who may be struggling, maybe needing the gospel, needing the love of God. Pastor Dennis Salas in studio with us today. I'm Danny Yamashiro. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. I'm broadcasting from Boston, Massachusetts, and Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm glad you're with us today. Thank you for joining us. You can find out more about Pastor Dennis and his ministry, hopechapelwaikiki.org. Pastor Dennis, we talked about your coming to Christ, but you have a heart for people who are hurting. Pastor, how did you develop this ministry that you have for the homeless?
Well, I started in, like I said, because of being poor all my life and knowing what it is, for us. Growing up, I remember making soyo and Alka-Seltzer to make one Coke, and our main
because
meals,
it looked like a Coke.
Yeah, and it had the fizz and everything, so we was acting like we was rich, even, with our bread with your sugar on, all those kind of stuff. And so when I got to in the ministries, I would meet every Wednesday nights on the beach with, just a few people. I come from a small little church, brother, small church, and, but big dividends. And and we went out into the parks on Wednesdays, maybe there's five or six. And every month I would feed whoever was there every month, because that's how I grew up. My mom, like I said, she would invite anybody, everybody coming to the house, she would feed them. And so I learned much of that. When you talked about my mom was a masseuse, she got into a lot of trouble herself, but she had a heart for God and for people. And so I learned those things about feeding people, and I love feeding people. And then all of a sudden, there was many churches started to come down on the beaches and started the feeding. And then all of a sudden, the brothers over there, they all know me. I'm straightforward. I'm not one of those people you're going to see with a mask on, act like I'm this or that. I talk straight. I sometimes go straight and, straight up with them, and they love that. But I love helping them out. So now what we're doing, I'm trying to reach out to the community because there's so much people feeding and helping the poor. So I'm asking the Lord, what can I do? He goes, there's lost people there out there. So we're having a surf contest I've been holding for the last 7 years, every year. And we're doing a surf contest called Surfing with the King. And a lot of people, the surfers go, "Oh, you mean King Kamehameha?" I go, "No, there's only one king, and that's Jesus," And so what we do, every year we give the proceeds, and, we get sponsors. People come up to me, "We want to sponsor you and give the money to the third world country." I said, "Brother, I got people starving right in the back of my, my house over here in Waikiki." Mm-hmm. So I want to make sure I take care of my own family over here before I even reach out someplace else, because I got people starving right here. So this year, our proceeds we're giving to Ho'onapua, which is that this nonprofit that we're going to support this year with our proceeds. And we're going to give it to them. And that's for the sex trafficking that's going on. And we can get these young girls off the streets and put them in a safe place to live. Mm-hmm. And so every year, last year we gave to Camp Agape, and you know a lot about Camp Agape. Yes. And the year before that was Wounded Warrior. So we're always looking somewhere to hold a surf contest. And like I tell all of, like I said, I got a small church, and hardly any of them surf. they're just from Waikiki, transit. And I said, this is not about surfing. It's about the surfers. It's about people out there that don't know Jesus. And you know what? I got to feed them the Spirit of God, and then they can come to know who Jesus Christ is. So we go out of our church, and I got that I do, and then we go out every Monday that's a holiday. We go out on Sunday and feed the homeless, and we have a service. We feed them the Word of God first and then food, and then we have an Easter sunrise service that I put out there every year for the last going on almost 18 years, 15 years, 16. And, I started off with like 50 people. Now we got about 2,000 people on the beach at Waikiki listening to the Word of God, and that's the feeding that I'm doing now.
Amazing. Amazing. What have you learned? What lessons has the Lord taught you in ministry?
Well, one of the biggest lessons is about my children. That even though God changes your life, they still got hurt. They still got pain. They still got scars,
and because of how things all started.
Exactly. Mm. And we can't change the past. And so I tell my children, I said, all I can do is love you, because even if they act and they says everything's good, Dad, because they see that I've changed. Mm. But I say, I know there's still pain because I wasn't there. But all I can do is love you from this day forward. I cannot change anything. And my daughter, she the irony of the thing, there's like seven of them graduated. Six of my kids graduated from college out of the nine. And when they write their thesis, they write about family. And when they write about family, they talk about all the different mothers and all the different families they come from. And the professors say, how do you make it? Because usually when you come from a single family home, you don't, you know, they all got honor rolls. They got, and, you know, I always say the only reason my kids got honor roll in going to college because I was always on a roll. So, but, you know, my kids, they, you know, and my daughter who gave a speech, they had her speak, and she says she, one thing she learned was fate through me. And that I just cried right there because, you know, feeling like, worthless, feeling, you know, like you're nothing. You know, even if you're a pastor of a church, you're still feeling for your kids and your family because of the things you've done in the past.
See, as I listen to you, Dennis, it feels like this. There's an ache because of that. Even though you know that, and you've changed, you have changed. Mm-hmm. But there's a sense of awareness, a sense, a soft spot because of that. And I don't know, as I listen to it, maybe not, I don't know. Part of what I take from that is at least there is an awareness that you haven't just swept everything under the rug and pretend like nothing happened. Maybe there can be healing, more depth because of, maybe that's part of what happens. Have you seen that? You know, sometimes when we're following the Lord, we forget about, we don't want to dwell on the past, but in the healing process, there's a process. What do you feel in relation to that?
Well, I remember when I was going to the churches, I went to five different churches. I just couldn't get enough until I found the church where my children wanted to go. And I remember talking to a pastor, and he says, you're forgiven already. Don't worry about it. Because I said, they don't want to forgive me. They don't want to forgive me. And he says, don't worry. You know, this is what a lot of things Christians do and pastors do. Sorry to say that, is that you're forgiven, move on. I didn't, like I told you earlier, when they said no can, I said can. And so what I did, I kept calling the mothers sorry, kept calling. And they said never, never, never. And then one day, and it was years, they says, you have changed. And I was like, whoa, you know, I was jumping for joy, you know, because it didn't matter how long it took me. But I was going to make sure they knew where my heart was.
And there's something to this process. I think it's part of the process of repentance, mm-hmm. and how important repentance is, how necessary it is in restoration. You're listening to Pastor Dennis Salas. Pastor Dennis is the senior pastor of Hope Chapel, Waikiki. You can find out about his ministry. You can find out about Surfing with the King and the proceeds of the surf contest that he gives to different nonprofits in the ministry of the church, hopechapelwaikiki.org. Hey, you know, we've been talking about some real sensitive stuff, but we need to talk about those kinds of things from time to time in our lives. And I don't know about you, if you've ever felt like, you know, someone hurt me and it's almost like, you know, it's like nothing happened. You want them to know that you've been hurt. And Pastor Dennis has been real sensitive about those things with his kids. We'll talk more about that and practical applications when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Danny Omashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club.
Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of news stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chanan and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, L&S Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Well, I guess that's the thing. You know, one of the great challenges, maybe something that infuriates some people or confuses or makes people feel disenchanted in life, even the spiritual life, is when they've been wronged and they are supposed to forgive. And they know they're supposed to forgive. And maybe to a certain point, they wish they could forgive, but they're unable to at that point. And the flip side of it is there are people who have already confessed their wrong. They have been repentant or are in the process of being repentant, and they still feel bad about it. It's a two-sided issue. I don't want us to feel like we need to put a ribbon around it and tie a nice, pretty bow over this package, and on the inside, it's all ruffled. I think we just need to talk about it. You're listening to the Good Life Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Yeah, we're talking about some tough stuff in life. And my guest today, Pastor Dennis Salas. You can find out more about him again, hopechapelwaikiki.org. And if you're listening to the program, you want to get the program in its entirety, I encourage you, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and get this program for free. Send it to a family member or friend. Pastor Dennis, yeah, we're in the middle of it. What would you say to someone who is in the quagmire of, wanting to forgive, cannot forgive, and on the other side, someone who wants to get on with their life because they want to change, but they know they've hurt someone?
Well, my dad died in 1996. I talked about him trying to hang me. Never forgive him for doing that to me and what he did. He would chase me around with a knife, sickles, whatever it may be, whatever he can find. And then my brothers would all come after. I was the youngest. Brothers, sisters all coming to give me lickings every day. So I thought maybe that's why I became such a great athlete, know how to dodge all these guys, you know. So
you could juke.
Oh, I was quick, and the feet was quick, and the head, because they was always aiming at the head.
Wow.
But what happened in 1996, my dad was dying, and everybody was at the hospital, and you know, we became, you know, better friends because I was a Christian then. I just became a Christian, following God. I started taking my mom, who was an alcoholic, to church. And he goes, what are you doing with your mom? I go, what do you mean? I'm taking her to church. He goes, yeah, she's not drinking. What you did to her? I go, you better come to church with us, too, because he never went to church, my dad. But what happened, my mom got run over by a bus in May 18. And she received Christ Jesus just before that in April. We were at a church, and she goes, what they doing, son? I said, they're accepting Christ in their life, Mom. She goes, I want to do that. So she accepted Christ. And then my dad, he 7 months later, he's, like I said, he's dying. He's in the hospital. And so my sister called me, Dad's dying, you know. So I go over there and, you know, I'm at the hospital and I walk in and he's like withered away. They got bedpans for him because he can't even clean himself up. And so all the family see me walking in and they go, oh, here comes the holy guy, because I'm carrying my Bible, you know, new Christian, you know, walking in. 89, I was a Christian. I started in the ministry in about 95. So I walk in, and like I said about the whole family, so they let me go in by myself. So I go in and I tell my dad, Dad, you know you're going to die. That's all I said. You're going to die. And he goes, yeah, I know. And I go, so what are you going to do? He goes, I don't know. I said, you know, I talked to him about Jesus, about everlasting life. I said, do you want that? He goes, yeah. I says, so you got to ask for forgiveness, because I was actually telling him, you better ask me for forgiveness because what you did to me. I didn't tell him that. Mm-hmm. But he just says, I want Jesus. I says, okay. So I laid my hands on his chest, prayed for him, took my hands off. He goes, put it back. I goes, what? He goes, put it back. So I put it back on his chest and I prayed and he fell asleep. And I walked out and everybody go, what happened? I said, I don't know. He fell asleep. And he goes, doctors, he can't fall asleep. He's on his medication that keeps him going because he's dying. They kept him up. And I said, I don't know, but he's snoring over there, you know, so I'll come back later, you know. So the next day I came and he wasn't in the room. So I said, oh, Lord, you took him. And the nurse, I said, where did you put him? And it goes the next door down. So I went down to the next door and I walked in the door and I saw him lifting weights. He couldn't even walk, and he was walking. And I'm sitting down on a chair. I didn't let him know I was in the room. All these people was in this therapy place, and it was like a miracle overnight. And I says, who did that, Dad? He goes, Jesus. I go, yeah, let's get out of here. You know, and, you know, everybody looked. He goes, I want to get out. I said, let's go, you know. And he went to his sister's house, like I was telling everybody. Nobody believed that, you know, in Jesus. And the sister saw him walk in. She almost fainted because he was supposed to be dead. And now he's walking in, says, look what Jesus did to me. And his sister came to know Jesus Christ and her family. So, you know, the forgiveness part is not just about you and that person. It just expands to everybody else. It's an infection.
Hmm. Somebody today, you know, there are things that you say in a story as you tell your testimony, your life story, that touches, that catches, people feel. Now speak directly to someone who's in a moment of struggle. Pastor, encourage them.
I know one thing. Forgiveness is for you. And the thing is, we hold a lot of weight. And then those that don't want to give forgiveness, they hold that weight also. And the thing is, it's not about me. You know, it's not about, you know, all, you know, that this person needs to do it. But really it is about releasing whatever's holding you in bondage. Because see, Satan has a way of holding us in bondage. Be it unforgiveness, being not forgiving for anyone, be it all sorts of things. He holds us in bondage. And it's not, you know, for some people that have been hurt. I know people that have been hurt. I know there are people that can say, I had this happen to me and I would never forgive them. I met a lot of people like that. All I can say, there's no remedy. No remedy at all except to trust in God. Wait on God. And see what he does in your life and how he will free you. And that one day you'll look back and say, Lord, why did I hold on to that so long? It's like the other day I took my brother, he's almost 70 years old. I took him paddling. And he said, brother, I wish I did this earlier. And I said, brother, at least you're doing it now. And that's what people got to realize. Do it now. Don't wait until you wonder why and how come. Do what you need to do now.
Pastor, someone right now is saying, okay, I'm ready. Okay, no more needs to be said. I don't understand it all, but I just know this is the time. Can you lead in a prayer? Pastor, we got about a minute left. Can you lead in a prayer, please?
Yes. Father God, I pray in the name of Jesus for all those that are listening right now. Lord, I've experienced the pain and the agony. Lord, I just want to share with everyone out there, Lord, that there is hope. That you will never leave us nor forsake us. And you call upon us by name. And you want to revive us. You want to renew us. You want to restore us. But we need to give in to you and surrender. I pray in the name of Jesus that these people that are out there listening to this broadcast, maybe they were living in a life and being selfish for themselves. But we all can change because Jesus waits. And he wants us to come to him. And all we need to do is repent and ask for forgiveness. And then see what he does in our lives from this day forward. For I believe that in the name of Jesus, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So I pray for those that are hurting, that God will bring compassion and love and grace in your life. And I pray for those that have done wrong to other people, that to go out and ask for forgiveness for the wrong that you have done. And then just be moved by the Holy Spirit and in Jesus Christ to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Dear one, as you've heard, received ministry of prayer from Pastor Dennis Salas, yeah, this is a weighty moment. It's those moments when in life we're on the threshold of change, where our lives take a different trajectory because of a choice that is made. A choice that is made by faith, one in which God gives us the strength to do it, and he carries us through by his grace. As you do, stay in contact. You can email me, danny@thegoodlifehawaii.com. You can connect with Pastor Dennis or someone who you know, a church that you're a part of or a church that you've heard about, a friend that you know that's a follower of Christ. Seek them out. Share with them what has happened, but stay connected in the process of restoration and healing. Pastor Dennis, thank you. Thank you for coming. Thank you for talking story with me and us and sharing heart to heart like you have.
Thank you, brother. One more thing. October 17, 18, Surfing with the King. And we do Feed the Hungry in November, the Sunday before Thursday. We do Kahlua turkeys, and whoever walks in the door, we feed them, you know, Kahlua turkey and all the good trimmings. So come join us at Hope Chapel Waikiki the Sunday before Thanksgiving and Surfing with the King at Queens Beach.
There you have it. Dear one, I hope you've been encouraged by the story of Pastor Dennis Salas. You can find out more at hopechapelwaikiki.org. You know, there's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. You know, if you haven't done so, hey, look, this is the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Would you do it, my friend? Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. Click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special presentation for you there. And if you'd like to help us with your financial support to make a donation, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. Isaiah 41:17, the poor and needy search for water, but there is none. Their tongues are parched with thirst, but I, the Lord, will answer them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to Dennis Salas. Again, find out more at hopechapelwaikiki.org. And until next time, along with my technical producer, Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator, Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer, Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org, and may God richly bless you with The Good Life.